Good morning, church. So you're ready to contend this morning, church? Because the Lord has a word. I love it when the Lord just confirms everything. It just gives you such confidence. I'm so glad. So before we get into the word this morning, prepare yourself. I need you to engage your mind, your spirit, and your heart. Because I've been praying this week, and what I've been praying is that not only that I'd be able to preach a good sermon, that's a good starting point, but more importantly that I'd be able to be a catalyst that God would use to inspire you to believe for the impossible again in your life. You know, I believe every single follower of Christ can experience the kind of supernatural move of God that I'm going to describe to you today from the life of Joshua. What I want to do is I want to read this scripture from the book of Joshua, give you a bit of context, and then give you some strong application for your life. Amen? See, I don't believe Jesus saved us to survive this world. I believe He saved us to change it for His glory. And I see too many believers, too many Christians, too many people who love God, who've settled into this comfortable complacency and have been lulled into a low faith expectation. But the kind of faith I want to share with you this morning, this sun stand still faith, believes God for the impossible is an ordinary way of life. And I believe it's available to you today. Amen. So turn with me, if you've got your Bibles, or if you've got your Bible on your phone, to Joshua 10. And I'm going to be starting in verses 7. Shout when you're there. Let's hope more of you have got more Bibles here. Encourage you to bring it to the church. So Joshua, verses 7. So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you." Now I want to point out before I move on, and this isn't really something to do with the heart of my message, but I thought it's really important and worth stopping for. So let me just share it with you. I love when God says this, "Do not be afraid, I have given them into your hand." Do you pick up that He's actually speaking in the past tense? No, the battle hasn't even begun from Joshua's perspective. But we serve a God who speaks about the battles we're all facing presently in the past tense. Because from His vantage point, they're already won. Because Jesus is already victorious. Now, I just thought that was a good side note. That's just the salad. So what I need you to do now is push that salad aside, because here comes the steak. You ready? Verses 9. After an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel, who defeated them in a great victory at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road, going up to Beth Horon, and cut them down all the way to Azekai and Medekai. As they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Azekai, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them from the sky. People say the Bible's boring. I say they obviously haven't read the Bible. Come on, and it says, "And more of them died from the hailstones than were killed by the swords of the Israelites." Do you know what? God can do more in a moment of favor than you can do in a lifetime of trying to do things your own way. And here we get to it. I love verse 12. It really just is something that ignites in my spirit. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel. We'll pick up on that later. "O sun, stand still over Gibeon. O moon, over the valley of Aijalon." Only 13 words, but these 13 words had a cosmic consequence. It's not a very long prayer, but watch what God does in response to the faith of one man named Joshua. It goes on to say in the scripture, "So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies. As it is written in the book of Joshua, the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There's never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to man. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel." And I believe the same God who made the sun stand still for Joshua, the same God who has the capability and capacity to raise His one and only Son from the dead, longs to show Himself strong in the life of every single man, woman, and child. I believe this happens every day when we as believers are bold enough to say, "God, I want to live my life in such a way that it leaves no doubt to anyone that you are fighting for me. I want people to look at my life and say, like it says in Joshua 10 verses 14, surely the Lord is fighting for Kevin. You know, I want God to do such enormous things in my own life, in your life, and in us as a church. And what I want to do this morning is spend the remainder of my time making this very personal for you. I want to give you a few practical applications, and then I want to address some of the objections that you're starting to think through at this moment when you start to think about your own present situation. Because it's easy to believe that the sun would stand still for a man like Joshua. You know, he was the man who saw the walls of Jericho fall down. He was Moses' protege. It's easy for him to do it. Maybe you're thinking, man, it's easy for the sun to stand still for Pastor Colin. He's in full-time ministry. You know, is it possible that God could make the sun stand still for me? You know, I'm raising children. I'm studying at university. Is it possible that God could hear a prayer such as that if it came from me? I love what Philip Yancey has to say about faith. He says, faith is believing in advance what will only make sense in reverse. Debbie, it'll make sense in reverse. So let me set this passage up for you in Joshua 10, give you a bit of context, because that will really help you to understand what's happening in this situation. So Joshua, he's got himself into a bit of trouble. He's made a mistake. What's happened is he's made an unwise alliance with a group of people that he should have actually destroyed. And so now he finds himself needing God to deliver him from a situation that he shouldn't have even got himself into. Have any of you ever needed God to get yourself out of a situation that you got yourself into? If you can, then you can relate to Joshua. I love that. But I'm so grateful that I serve a God who can turn a mistake into a miracle. That I serve a God who is willing to step in the midst of a battle to rescue Joshua, even though Joshua shouldn't have even been involved in this battle to begin with, if he had just listened to God in the first place. So we have Joshua fighting this enemy, and I'd encourage you, read the whole of chapter 10 and go back to Joshua 9. It's a fascinating story. So Joshua is outnumbered. But there he is. He's got the blessing of God, and he sees God showing up in a great way. But as he's about to finish off his adversaries, we get to this place where the sun starts to sink. And as the sun's going down, he's realizing, hey, if the sun goes down, it's going to be dark, and we aren't going to be able to see anyone, kill anyone, and finish these people off. Kind of practical, eh? But Joshua starts to remember the promises of God. You know, that his enemies aren't supposed to stand up against him. You know, that the people of Israel are called to inhabit the entire promised land. And he prays something that he's never prayed before. He prays something that he's never heard anyone pray before. But I think he gets to this moment of desperation, and all he can do is pray out boldly in the presence of the whole nation. And I love that. I was thinking, man, praying, Lord, the sun stands still in the presence of everyone. Man, surely I might want to mumble that sucker under my breath. Because I'm like, well, if it pans out, well, then I can give it to you next Sunday in a praise report. So praise Jesus. God answered my mumble prayer. But he doesn't. He puts it all on the line. I love that about Joshua. Praise it before the whole nation. And here's what I love about the miracle. I don't know if you pick it up. The miracle, the way he prayed the prayer isn't actually scientifically correct, because the earth revolves around the sun. So even though he didn't pray it right, God still answered his prayer. You see, according to what he understood about God at that point in time, he just prayed it boldly. God loves it. And look, God is not insulted by our big requests, and neither is he intimidated. Joshua got bold enough to say, Lord, I know your promises. I know that nobody is supposed to stand against us. Lord, I know what you promised me when you asked me to take over as leader of this nation. And I need you to do something right now, and I need you to pray it with everything I've got. So I'm wondering, will you be bold enough today? to surface the need in your heart, in your family, in your finances. God, to say, God, only you can do it. I'm wondering if today would be your day where you would pray a Sun Stand Still prayer. Because I recognize, look, some of you guys have been around the blocks. And maybe you've seen things not pan out for you. Maybe you've become numb to sermons like these where someone comes in and tries to inspire you and fire you up. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God has sent me here today to speak into your life. And He wants to do amazingly big things in your life. Is there anyone out there who believes that? Come on. See, what we ask God for is a direct reflection of what we believe about His character, His capability, His capacity, and His nature. So I'm wondering, again, what is the Sun Stand Still prayer that you need to pray today? What's the impossible thing that God is wanting to do through your life? And I'm wondering if you'll be bold enough to pray it. See, I believe that right now, right here, there's somebody engaging with this message. I believe that the word of the Lord is speaking to somebody here this morning, somebody who believed that God was able to do that. And He's here to speak to your life again this morning. Come on. You know, at one time you were going to be generous. At one time you were really going to raise your family to make a difference in this world. But now you've sort of been lulled into the spiritual survival mode. But I love this. Before we get too happy about a God who makes the sun stand still, notice this. That Joshua still had to fight the battle. And this morning what I want to do is look a little bit about what that battle looks like, that battle of faith. I want to share some what if and what about stuff that comes up as when you begin to pray in faith this way. You know, because I wish it was so easy that I could come to you and say, Sun Stand Still prayer, you can go home, you're going to believe big things, it's going to be done, all your aches and pains are going to go away, your teenage daughter's never going to roll her eyes again when you ask her to do the dishes. You know, she's going to be filled with promise and her countenance is going to change and reflect the glory of the Lord. Same for your sons, I'm sure, when you ask them to wash the dishes. I'm still trying to teach Eli. He's getting actually pretty good at unloading the dishwasher. Amen. Amen. So what I want to do is take you to a passage of Scripture found in the New Testament, because what we're going to see here is there's someone else who experienced a situation just like this. They had a prayer. They had actually a request that they made to God, and in fact they made this request to Jesus, and it was going well, but then all of a sudden it didn't go so well. And I think there's a few things that we can learn from this passage of Scripture. So turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, and I'm going to be looking at chapter 5. So let's give you a bit of context. I'll give you an overview of 14 verses, and then we're going to land softly on verses 35. Amen? So here we have Jairus, who's an official in the synagogue, comes to Jesus. His daughter's very sick. And he says, Jesus, Lord, Jesus, I need you to come through for me. My daughter's incredibly ill. I need you to come and heal her. And I think this to me represents one of the greatest needs a human being can have. You know, I was trying to reflect on what that would be like if Eli was sick to the point of death. You know, I point that out to say that because this need of Jairus is symbolic of whatever the biggest need is that you have in your life today. And I so love how God's word speaks to the toughest of situations. This man's child is dying. I love how there's nothing that God's word can't address. So Jesus, being the man he is, agrees to heal this man's daughter. Hey, it seems like everything's happening. This man's Sun Stand Still prayer is on its way. Have you ever been there where you've kind of felt like, man, there's just,
I'm getting momentum. I'm seeing breakthrough. And then all of a sudden, a circumstance happens. And then it all seems to grind to a halt. And this happens to them as they're on their way to Jairus' house. This woman cuts in front of Jairus. And I was trying to think, okay, I don't particularly like people cutting in front of me. I'm not sure what you're like on the motorway. But come Eli being sick to the point of death and someone cutting in front of me, I was thinking, I'm going to go all incredible Hulk on you. We don't see that reflected in the scripture. That must have been left out for some reason. But yes, this woman, she cuts in front of Jairus. She's about to have this prayer answered, and she goes in and she touches the hem of his garment, and she's had an issue for year on year, for 12 years in fact, and she gets healed. But all the while she's getting her healing, this man's daughter is getting sicker and sicker. And this is where we pick up the scripture in verses 35, and it says, while Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, and they delivered this news. Your daughter is dead. So Jesus agreed to make the sun stand still for this man. You thought you had it. You thought it was going to be better. You thought like it was coming to pass. And then you find out your daughter's dead. You kind of sometimes feel in those situations that maybe in the cosmic scheme of prayers, someone's got in front of line, right in front of you. You kind of feel, man, maybe God's off blessing someone else while he's not blessing me. And you no longer can see God in your situation. You know, you've gone from having a sick daughter or a bad situation to having a dead situation. You no longer need healing, but you need resurrection now. It's gotten worse, agree? And here's what we say. See in second part of verses 35, the servants say to Jairus, why bother the teacher anymore? Why bother the teacher anymore? You know, I feel like that's where so many of us can get to as we start to activate our faith. You've asked God to do something in your life and you actually believed it was going to happen. Your faith has begun to stir. And as soon as you're in this place of maybe this is going to happen, maybe God can use me, maybe I can make a difference, something flies in the face of everything that you were believing God for in faith, and something cripples you. You know, there have been times in my life where I've thought, man, why even bother? I'm sure there have been times in your life where you've thought, man, why even bother? Why bother to pray for my son who's on drugs? Why bother doing this all over again? You know, I've tried to live right, but why bother giving the church? I've given and was believing for God to bring back, but I haven't seen the full fruits yet. Why bother continuing on? Have you ever heard the voice of doubt in your ear whispering, why bother? Why bother serving the church? Nobody cares. Nobody notices. They're not going to miss you. Not going to miss me. Why bother dreaming? Why bother believing for healing? Why bother? And here's what I love about Jesus in verses 36, first part, it says, ignoring what they said. And if you're going to walk in faith and do great things for God, you're going to have to learn Mark 5, verses 36. Because there are going to be times when the people around you, and that's just one thing, there are going to be times when there's a voice inside, something within you is just telling you, why bother? Nobody's ever done it before. I love how you notice the people who gave this news to Jairus were from his own house as well. They weren't his enemies. They were the people around him who were telling him, oh, just, you know, don't bother the teacher anymore. They didn't have faith for anything. So here's the paradox of walking in faith and believing God for big things. See, on one hand, you've got God who's going to be encouraging you, telling you, believe for the impossible. All things are possible to him who believes. But every time God's going to be there saying, oh, it's possible, you can do it, there's going to be the enemy whispering in your ear, why bother? You've tried this. What's going to make this year any different? You've tried this for year after year. Nothing's ever changed. Why bother? Why bother trying to get your wife to love you? You know, every advance you make gets shut down. You get blasted in your face. The enemy's going to say, why bother trying to ask God to resurrect your marriage? But what we've got to learn is to practice selective hearing. Selective hearing is one of the most effective allies in our fight of faith. And I love that, how we can learn from our children. Man, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I was shouting out to Eli to stop as he was running towards the pond. And you know he's listening, because he sort of looks like he turns around and he turns back around. And he's just selecting not to hear me today. And we've got to learn to do exactly what Jesus did. Jesus hears a little girl's dead. And he just goes, I don't want to hear it. Let's go. And the Bible says, so his first part goes, ignoring what they said. And it goes on, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid, just believe. Don't be afraid, just believe. On one hand, you've got the servants going, why bother? On the other hand, you've got Jesus saying, just believe. And I think the smartest thing that Jairus did that day was to shut his mouth and just to follow Jesus back to his house. And that's a great strategy for when you find yourself in a situation where it looks like everything is against what God is doing in your life. You've just got to keep the promises of God front and center and then follow Jesus back to his house. So it goes on to say in verses 37 that Jesus didn't let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Verses 38. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion? And the people are going, well, Jesus, this man's daughter's just died. You see, but Jesus, when he walks into this situation, doesn't see a death. He sees an opportunity for a resurrection. When Jesus walks into your situation, he doesn't see it the way you see your situation. You see, your circumstances don't need to be 100% for your faith to be 100%. Jesus looks at your situation and he just says, don't be afraid, don't give up, just believe. You know, the devil would say, why bother? Jesus says, just believe. But God, I've just been laid off my job. The devil would say, hey man, why bother? Just sit around and watch Home and Away and eat Doritos. Jesus says, look, just believe. Tighten up your resume. Get out there. There's another day coming. Your best is not behind you. God does have a plan for you. There's something new God can do through your life. There's something better he can do in your situation. But you've got to learn how to hold this tension and reality. You know, every time potential for faith is born in your life, the devil is going to be there whispering, why bother? Why bother? So here's what we've got to learn to do. You ready? Yeah. Doubt is like a telemarketer. And the best strategy is never even to pick up the phone. Amen? Verses 40, the Bible says that after, Jesus makes this audacious statement and somewhat insensitive statement. I love it. Why are you crying? She's not dead. She's asleep. People are going, Jesus, you're crazy man. And then they laugh at Jesus. And that made me think about, Debbie was sharing from Hebrew. And made me think about Abraham and Sarah and how they laughed at God. Laughed at the idea, Abraham, that Abraham could have a child when he was going to be 100 years old. And his wife has been barren for the whole of her life. But they laughed at Jesus. And if you're taking notes this morning, that's a bad strategy. Write that down. Don't laugh at Jesus. Because this is what happens. The Bible goes on to say, after Jesus puts them all out. And that's what we've got to do with our doubts today. All of the reasons the enemy gives you why you can't change, why you can't metamorphosize into something great for God, why you can't impact lives, why you can't make a difference through serving, why your family can't be brought together under the banner of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So it says, after he puts them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him. And he went in there where the child was, and he took her by the hand and said, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. At this they were completely astonished. And he gave strict orders to not let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. We serve a God who's so calm, cool, and collected. He raises the dead and then has the presence of mind to fix the girl the sandwich. Listen, God's not worried about your situation. God's not freaked out about what keeps you up at night. Listen, God's got this one just like the last one. Can you say that with me this morning? God's got this one just like the last one. Let's say it like we believe it, church. God's got this one just like the last one. Because if you think back through your walk with Jesus, doesn't that ring true? God's got this one just like the last one. You know, as I said with Philip Yancey, man, faith makes sense when you look at it in reverse. But we've just got to have that faith now to take a step. You know, as Debbie's taking the step, as Pastor Colin was sharing last week, we just got to have faith now. So why are you worrying about a battle that God has already won? Why are you mourning over a situation that God can resurrect? Even if the sun goes down, listen to me, God will be light to your situation. Even if it doesn't get better, He'll use the very thing the enemy meant to tear you apart, and He'll use it to build up a great testimony that He can use to the glory of His name. Why bother? No. That's a telemarketer. Put the phone down. Just believe. Here's something I've understood about faith. You don't have to totally understand what God is doing in order to be completely obedient. Jairus didn't understand. He just followed Jesus. Can I have the music team up? This morning, what I want to encourage you to do is to displace all of your doubts with the promises of God. I want you to be able to believe in a God who can make the sun stand still in your life. So my question again to you this morning, what is the sun stand still prayer that you need to pray today? What's the impossible thing that God wants to do through your life? And I'm wondering if you'll be bold enough to pray it. You know, this morning there's been a very strong message from the Lord, you know, about contending and just taking a step of faith. And what I want to do this morning is extend an opportunity to you to step out in faith, to activate your faith. So as we close with a song this morning, I want to ask you to join me here in the front as we worship. As we're in this atmosphere of faith this morning, let this be the day when you start to pray again for the things God has laid in your heart. So if that's you this morning, as we sing, again, encourage you, come forward and begin to pray for that thing that you've stopped praying for. Man, and if you also feel like, I just can't recall the promises that God's put on my life. I can't recall the things that God has spoken over me. I'd encourage you to come forward as well, because we want to pray over you. We want to remind you and speak new promises, because God wants to make sure that you're able to have something in front of you to remind you when it does get tough, when it feels like the sun is setting. He wants to remind you with the promises that He's spoken over you so that you can speak those and declare those to the atmosphere, because when the devil comes, he'll flee at the word of the Lord. So come on, church, let's stand to our feet. Begin to contend this morning. Come on.